quite frankly, what you've pointed to is the big problem in the craft distilling industry right at the moment, which is a glut.
This project really is sort of a love letter to Australian wine.
We want to bring people back into rum and not scare them off.
A maritime Tassie single malt whiskey felt like the right thing for the three of us to do.
In a perfect world, all the best grapes from the best vineyards would go into the hands of the best winemakers. Doesn't always happen that way.
This is the Drinks Adventures podcast. I'm James Atkinson, and this is the show where I speak to some of the world's most exciting producers of beer, wine and spirits and uncover trends and issues in the drinks industry today.
Darwin Distilling Co. is a Northern Territory distillery founded by my guest this episode of the podcast, hospitality entrepreneur Rebecca Bullen. Originally from Victoria, Beck was lured to Darwin by the opportunity to open the city's first wine bar, Stonehouse, which launched in 2016 and is still going strong today. She subsequently opened the gin bar and restaurant Charlie's of Darwin in January 2020, with the distillery as its centrepiece. Carefully avoiding encounters with snakes and crocodiles, Beck forages local botanicals to create a uniquely territorial range of gins and vodkas, with cane spirits also in the pipeline. I'm somewhat ashamed to say that I've never been to Darwin, or the NT for that matter, so I started by asking Beck about the appeal of living and working in this unique city.
Darwin has this magic. It is very laid back. People are very welcoming, embrace the outdoors, and the sunsets are just magical. And that's why I love Darwin. And the traffic, having been here in Sydney, the traffic in Darwin is way better.
Sure. Well, talk me through when the distillery was actually founded and what your thinking was there, and, you know, how did you set about actually learning the craft yourself?
So 2018 is when I thought it was a great idea. I just got back from a wine tour through Europe and I hit Mr. Fogg's Gin Tavern in London and I loved it. And I thought, oh, I really love this, you know, cocktail scene, flavours, which is what I'm really interested in. And I put in the planning permit for that. Again, licensing was difficult, quite a few hurdles as I was the first one, and it did take a while. So we opened in March 2020, perfect time to open a bar. And the distillery was co-located in that, and in that sort of downtime that we had, so we didn't have the lockdown for very long, we were just distilling. So I did have a distiller there, and I was more interested in the flavours of what was coming out. I'd go out foraging because I love the hyper-local produce that we use. And that's sort of really where it came. The distiller then got another job somewhere else. And so I sort of really took over and had myself a very good time.
So you'd sort of been pretty much learning on the job, working with the other distiller that you hired to get things off the ground to begin with?
Absolutely. I think that if I walked into another distillery, I wouldn't even know where to start, but I know my still back the front. So I think that's really where it comes to. I'm always checking out other distilleries and go, ooh, and learning, because I think it's always a learning process.
What about your, you know, inspiration to kind of get into spirits and cocktails in the first place? Was that something that came through travel and so forth?
So I've lived in many different places and I love different foods. I love wine. I love the flavours that you get from wine. And I think that the Territory, Northern Territory, had these flavours that weren't really utilised anywhere. So that was really my main driver, is that we had these wonderful sort of melting pot of flavours and I wanted to sort of share that with the world. So with food pairing, so we do a lot of, I call them ginners, so gin dinners that are paired with gin, and we have an amazing chef up in Darwin. So, you know, we'll do crocodile dumplings with a Sichuan sauce and a pink gin. It's pretty delicious.
Well, let's talk about some of the products. So the signature gin very much speaks of the place, with the Kakadu plum and native lemongrass and water lilies. How did you kind of get your hands on those ingredients and how did you kind of settle on that flavour profile?
It was a collaborative approach. It was a group of us got together. We individually distilled the different flavours because they don't obviously come online all at once. So it's a blend. A group of us got together and was like, well, what signifies Darwin? So the Kakadu plum, I pick off my friend's block down at Dundee Beach, and we love that flavour. The boys pick the water lilies in the first instance off of Billabong at their community by throwing a log into the Billabong to scare away any potential crocodiles that were there. And the native lemongrass is just something that gives a lovely citrus pop to the flavours of what people like in their gin.
They're all foraged ingredients?
Yep. I don't pick the native lemongrass. I just go round to their house, eat dinner and collect the lemongrass. So I don't pick that myself. But the Kakadu plums, it's very short season, third year in a row of been picking them. I know which tree gives me the best tasting plums. So we have a picking permit that we need to do in the NT. It's called take and interfere with wildlife. So it's what I'm allowed to take, but they must be off the tree. So you can't climb up the tree. You can't shake the tree. It must be what's on the ground. So at Easter time every year, I go to my friend's place and pick the Kakadu plum. Water lilies are an interesting one. So this season, we got them off Finnis River in an airboat with some secateurs, because you're not allowed to lean over the airboat just in case the crocodile takes off your arm. So that's what we deal with when we're picking.
Uniquely Territorian is your slogan, I think, so it sounds very appropriate.
Yeah, so I was out picking some mulberries on Thursday, well, going to pick some mulberries on Thursday, and unfortunately there was a fresh shedded snake skin, and I decided that the snake could keep the mulberries for now. So, and I was hoping it was a carpet python, but it was actually a brown snake. So I just thought, yeah, hopefully the mulberries are there when I get back and have sturdier shoes on.
For sure. And what sort of flavour profile did that arrive at with the signature gin? Like, where did it land in terms of, would it fit broadly into London dry gin or sort of some contemporary kind of category?
It's definitely modern Australian. Yeah. It is really a showcase of different botanicals that you may not be familiar with. It is not overtly juniper forward, and it all depends on what you garnish it with or how cold it is to what flavour profile comes out first. So, you know, if it's nice and chilled, then it's lemongrass that really hits. If it's a little bit warmer and you pair it with the right sort of garnish or tonic, then that water lily really comes to the fore. Kakadu plum, because not many people are familiar with it, that it doesn't translate all together in the fact that they don't know what it is, but it is definitely there and it is on that sort of front palate, and it gives it a bit of a length to it and sort of embraces the juniper as well.
And from the outset, it's always been gin, gin, gin. That's going to be the champion spirit for the distillery. Do you say that we're exclusively a gin distillery or?
No, we make some delicious single plant, essentially vodkas, so that we use in our cocktails, such as paper bark, turkey bush, a local passion fruit that we put in our slushy machines to make something really delicious. Just finished off a honey mead and we're working on a spiced rum. It might never become rum because we keep tasting and it's delicious. So it might just be a spiced.
Spiced cane spirit or?
Yeah, so we have been working with local farmers to do a cane spirit because we grow sugar cane in Darwin.
Oh, cool. How exciting. And is it a reasonably small-scale operation? What are your main sales channels? Is it mainly kind of through the bar or?
Well, obviously a lot through the bar. People are really interested about sort of local produce coming to Darwin, especially for the tourist. We're in quite a lot of different venues around the NT. I think it is a unique flavour profile, like, for example, Salty Plum, which was Sydney's favourite, was this Salty Plum, which is a NT speciality, which is slightly sweet, slightly sour. So we just ship that across Australia. We're not in any national distribution and we love people to come and visit us as well. But I also do exclusive blends for different parties, such as like the Army or the Navy. And so we do some signature blends for them.
Yeah, so tell me a bit more about the Salty Plum, like the flavour profile of that. It's got quite a distinctive front label, the sort of facial expression that you get when you're biting into something that's intensely sour.
That is exactly what it is. So that is from a local artist, Frank Goyer, and he has licensed us that work to use. It is slightly sour. It's slightly salty. The umami sort of flavours is sort of something that comes to the fore. It's got ginger and it's got, you know, and when we're talking about hyperlocal, we know exactly where the ginger's grown. So apart from the juniper and any other traditional, the ginger's from Mix, the lime's from Phil's. Also, Pam gives us some of her limes as well. So, you know, different citruses are coming from different places and I know exactly where they come from.
And has the distillery and what you're doing with all the local ingredients, has that kind of captured people's imagination up there?
I like to think so, yes. It's a little bit of fun. The bartenders in Darwin are very creative and they do a lot of work in Australia to educate, and we've rep very well for such a small little town that we are, and bartenders really embrace what we've got going, and sometimes they'll ask me to craft something particular that they want to put into a drink, and we're absolutely happy to do that.
It does sound like there is quite a good little bar scene up there, because I have heard about a few of the different bars.
Yeah, we hit pretty hard for our small little village that we are, and we fully embrace that. And we do get the support from various sort of multinationals, but also, you know, they also are very good at supporting local as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, and it looks like you've created some other interesting gins for particular local events, like one which I would be all on board for, the Darwin International Luxa Festival.
So Luxa is Darwin's dish. We do have that international Luxa festival, and I miss my Saturday Luxa, so I was asking for advice of where to go to get a good Luxa here in Sydney, but I'm pretty happy with my one up in Darwin. So the chef came on board and said, right, we'll do a Luxa. So we put that in the still, put a bit of juniper with it, so an actual Luxa paste, and the juniper, and we created the spirit of Luxa.
And it's come up nicely.
If you love Luxa, it is Luxa amazing. And we serve it at the bar as in a bloody Luxa Mary.
What about, you know, are there any challenges with being a bit more isolated and in terms of access to ingredients, you know, ability, I guess, to network with other fellow distillers, those types of things?
No, the fellow distillers, I think we're a great cohesive group, so that's never a problem. And we do get together at least once a year, but I'm very happy to pick up the phone and ask questions. What the problem could be is that freight. Freight's always an issue and it comes down to cost. You won't see what is happening at different bars if you're not sort of on point or not looking into your social media to see what is trending. And, you know, for us, it's actually quicker to go to Singapore where my gin is at the Atlas Bar versus coming to Sydney. So sometimes we face a lot north rather than looking down south.
Do you do any export as well? Or
so, yep, we export and looking to go to the US with one of our gins.
Awesome. The other four distilleries that are in the territory, are they all in Darwin or are they around the place?
They're all in Darwin. One's just doing a vodka. One is looking at doing whiskey. And the other one is this contract where they fly someone up to distill.
Yeah.
And the other one does it for his restaurant.
And there is a Darwin craft gin, I think, as well. But that is that not made up there? Is that controversial?
It is made up there now.
Oh, it is made up there now? Okay.
Yeah. So that's from a large group that does like Bondi gin, Perth gin.
Has that created any confusion in the marketplace for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Especially when they weren't making it in Darwin. I thought the sort of geographical indicators, I thought that wasn't a great thing for the territory. Lots of people think the Green Ant gin by the Motlops is a Darwin gin. The Green Ants are from the NT and he's a Larrakia man, and but it isn't made in the NT. So I love to promote what's made in the NT. You know, we have these wonderful produce, and because it is a melting pot, you know, Lao, Filipino, Vietnamese, so things that people have never heard of or have never seen, and definitely I haven't seen coming from Victoria, like Tapadilla, something called chocolate pudding fruit that if it's not ripe will kill you, but when it's ripe it tastes like, you know, a lovely sort of light, airy chocolate pudding. So these flavours that while they're not native to the NT, they've been introduced but just thrive, they're just really fun to play with.
Yeah, it's really interesting even hearing you say that Luxa is the, you know, the dish of Darwin. I didn't know that was the case, but certainly sounds like some interesting cultural influences up there.
Yeah, so, you know, magpie geese, which is a bird, we do it with a curry rub. it's like this whole mix of delicious cuisines, and I think everyone sort of tends to get along well with each other. So it is a sharing, you know. Satays is also like everyone looks forward to it. We also have a very large Greek community, so I believe we have the largest in the Southern Hemisphere charcoal grill for Glenty Festival. So there's lots of things, and it is that melting pot and the sharing of cuisine and food and growing your own, because, you know, nearly every year we get cut off from down south. So if the train line doesn't go through, or the truck, if there's a road accident and the truck is blocked off for 2 days, we're not getting anything. So there's been days where you can't get potatoes or green vegetables unless it's locally grown. So there is those definite challenges that sort of really make you look at what else you can do. We do have wonderful seafood, so our barra and our snapper, great prawns. So, you know, we embrace those flavours and we make it our own.
Sounds like I've got to find an excuse to come up.
Well, we invite you. Come on up and have a look.
Now, you've obviously been in Sydney this weekend at Junipalooza. Tell me about the sort of reception that you got from the punters for, you know, the concept of Darwin Distilling and the products that you had to show people.
So I've decided that all gin festivals should be on when it's really hot outside, so people are extra thirsty. So they were really enamoured by our salty plum, and they can understand why our tropical monsoon is highly refreshing. They're highly appreciative of us coming from Darwin. It is a big effort. We had to truck our goods down, didn't make the truck, so we had to fly it instead. And they were just really sort of embracing that. We were lucky to Garden Street's gin subscription, so they sort of, some of them were quite familiar with our brand already, and we were introducing them to some of our other delicious flavours.
Oh, so some people had had your gins previously through through Garden Street.
Correct. So that was a bit of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. There's also a new Navy Strength on the market. Tell me about some of the ingredients that are in that one.
So all foraged locally. We're talking about paper bark, silver leaf tea tree. We have turkey bush, which is only grown in the NT. So really concentrating on those local flavours to give it a really dry hit. I designed it for myself so that I could have it in a dirty martini. So definitely for me. There's Malaluka, so Kulbani leaf that comes off a community, 17 Mustation. And we do work with various other farmers and gardeners around. I go out foraging with a botanist. He makes sure that I don't poison myself, because I did try and eat some poisonous bush, but he was lucky, he was there. I'm just really embracing those uniquely territorial ingredients. I am starting to grow my own native bush garden so that I can make sure that it is available for when I need to use it.
And, you know, you're obviously working with some ingredients there that are probably not particularly well understood, and, you know, there's no sort of textbook to reach for when you're working out, you know, how to work with them. So is that just a case of trial and error with different distillation regimes to try and get the outcomes, and then obviously some very complex blending workshops that go on after that?
It is always so much fun when I get a new ingredient to distill. Like, we look at whether we macerate, post-macerate, distill within the still, or just in the botanic basket. And I'm lucky enough that generally we have a lot to play with, so we can try them all out. We can have a look at, is it friends with juniper? Is it friends with coriander? And because we individually distill most of our botanicals at once, we're able to then play around with it. And then we have gin blending classes up in Darwin so that people can come and try and blend their own. So I get to sneakily taste their good blends as well. So that's a bit of fun. But having owned a wine bar for over 13 years and, you know, looked into that, studied wine, studied flavours, I've got a fairly good indication of what it will taste like coming out of the still. I have been shocked a few times. There was something called Beach Vitex that, when it came out of the still, I thought I'd stuff something up, because it actually tasted like salted caramel. And I was like, oh, what have I done wrong? No, time and time again, every time I distill it, it tastes like salted caramel. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say that doesn't sound like, I thought you were going to say something horrible, but salted caramel sounds like something you can work with.
Yes, so definitely I've worked with that quite a lot. When some people come to our gin blending classes and they're like, oh, I don't like gin. It's like, that's okay, you don't have to make gin. Here, have a taste of this. And they go, can I just have a whole bottle of this Beach Phytex? I'm going, yes, you can. So some definite sort of surprises like that. And they're wonderful little surprises. I have a 50-litre and a 500-litre still. And the 50-litre still does get a massive workout because, you know, I'm always playing with ingredients. You know, I got some Boab nuts the other day and, you know, when you eat them, they taste like lemon sherbet. And I was like, oh, how do I do this in the distillation process? But I was given so many, I could distill, I could macerate, I could post-macerate, and it's really come out. And they're the things that excite me. So now I've got this wonderful flavor and I'm like, well, what are we going to do with this now? How can I showcase this product that I haven't seen in many other distilleries? How can we showcase this and bring this to the world and in these different flavours? And that's what I get super passionate about.
So it's a real kind of, what I'm getting, a real artisan sort of culinary approach to distilling.
Absolutely. So the flavours and how that they compare with each other and also how they can showcase themselves. Like, all right, this lemony sherbet, like, well, what cocktail are we going to put it in? So, you know, I have a team of 10 bartenders. We'll get together. I'll present them this whole new exciting thing that I've just distilled. And they're like, great, what can we do with this? And we play around with it. It has been disappointing when I got off a community this delicious native cherry and we couldn't work out what it was exactly. So we had to go to the herborium and find out exactly what it was. And they could only give me this very small amount because as soon as I distilled it, I called up and said, hi, can I get some more, so much more? And they go, no, season's done. So I was like, no. So I've been jealously guarding this native cherry. And then I was like, in my diary, okay, the season's coming up. Hi, nuts, flooded, none this year. So
a lot of these ingredients are very fleeting or volatile to sort of work with. Yeah.
But that drives me, you know, to go out bush and I network with the NT farmers, also different communities, and to find out what is out there. And anything that I can do to help sort of commercialise bush food as well is something that we're really passionate about because, you know, Kakadu plum has massively grown, but if we can find the next one, and there is one that I would love if they could commercially grow it, would be amazing.
Because it's, I suppose, you get consistency of supply, but also a more reliable product as well.
When it comes to keeping people on the land, on country, and they're able to grow and have it as commercially viable product, then that's a win-win all around, you know. And while it might not be able to go to the markets as a fresh produce, then potentially it could go as frozen or dried. You know, we know some great chefs out there who are really curious and want to explore what's available in the NT, and I sort of find it a privilege that I get to have a look at these and sort of share those in a distilled form.
What would you say is like some of your signature cocktails showcasing your spirits that are, you know, really sort of designed for the Darwin sort of way of life, if you know what I mean?
The Darwin way of life is this very relaxed, casual approach. Salty plum is something that a lot of people grew up with and you either love them or hate them. They used to be in the school canteen, and that only just changed very recently, but you can get salty plums at the servo. So, you know, it's like people go, what are salty plums? If you know, you know. So we just do that in a gin fizz. Especially with new flavours, we want people to try them. So we don't want to go too adventurous, like too molecular, but we also want to introduce them to flavours. So for something like Kakadu plum, we do it in a margarita. So that they're somewhat familiar and a nice introduction to that flavour is very helpful. I like our Paperbark Reviver, which is a riff on the Corpse Reviver. There are some like tea tree, anything, you know, that's a little bit different and we want to sort of push them a little bit harder but as in a way that they will embrace it, is something like we can do some smoking of paperbark or the tea tree leaves. So those aromatics are there and then sort of go, oh, this is what that flavour is, and sort of help them in that way. So we're quite sustainable in the distillery. So anything that comes into the distillery goes to our kitchen, and chef makes his magic there in one way or the other. So that makes me particularly happy.
Awesome. What does the future hold? Grand plans to expand?
Yes. We're looking at a spiced rum, which will be using, again, sort of spices from the NT. And we are introducing what I call the bartender series of vodkas that are, so that people can play with them, such as paper bark, turkey bush, pearl shell, so that they can play around with their own world and pair it with their own foods, which is a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Well, where can people get their hands on your wares?
Online is the best way.
Yep.
Or better yet, come to Darwin and come and visit me and we'll have a play in the distillery.
Sounds good to me. So online is Darwin Distilling.
DarwinDistillingCo.com.au.
Fantastic. Well, Rebecca, thanks heaps for coming to see me while you're in Sydney, and I'll have to try and return the favour.
All right, James, come on up. We'll take you out and we'll go foraging. Be great.
Fantastic.